And joining me right now here on the phone line for a Thursday, and yes, sports is nonstop right now. This guy does a great job with the Florida Today newspaper. His name is Tim Walters. Let's cue his music.
There's no I in team, but there is in Tim.
How's bowling going on Monday then?
Not very good.
I talk about it on my podcast. On my podcast. I love it when a plan comes together.
Tim Walters, Florida Today. Buddy, how you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, Mark. Like you say, it's so busy in sports. I'm sitting here trying to keep up. I just got done updating some Arkansas women's basketball stats. So there you go.
Wow, you are living the dream. All right, let's start with the biggest story of the day. Last night we heard the news. Nick Saban announced retirement. And then Belichick parting ways with the Patriots. What are your thoughts, buddy?
Yeah, you know, yesterday when I heard about Nick Saban last night, I was going to take my daughter to soccer practice, and I heard about that. And I was talking to somebody on the phone, and I said, you watch, Belichick's going to go tomorrow. And then, boom, just like Nostradamus, that happens. And if you think about it, the day before, you know, Pete Carroll had his moment. Pete Carroll out at the Seahawks. So, you know, definitely some changing of the guard, some things like that. Will Belichick return? That's the question. Does he want to, you know, go coach the Falcons, who are a quarterback away? You know, does he want to take on the Cowboys if Mike McCarthy loses and gets fired this weekend? So with him, there's a lot of, you know, what's going to happen with Saban. I believe he's done. You know, he wants to go sit on a lake in a fishing boat and be left alone. And so, you know, good for him. He's earned it. You know, just what a stellar career. You know, Belichick, on the other hand, I wonder, does he still feel like he has something to prove? Because, you know, prior to going to New England, he was 36-44. And then after Brady left, he's 29-38 in New England. So a very below average coach when you take away what Tom Brady did for him. So there's a lot going on there, Mark. You know, just seeing these two going away, it's just it's one of those things that, I don't know. I guess you never expect for it to happen, let alone back-to-back days.
Okay, let's go over this real quick with Tim Walters, the Florida Today. Did you see the Patriots with Belichick in person, and did you see Alabama with Nick Saban in person?
Oh, gosh, I would have to think about it. I don't believe I saw the Patriots in person. I know I saw Nick Saban and Alabama play Florida, so... and I believe I was at a game when he was LSU coach as well.
Yeah.
So yes, I've seen Saban at least twice, but I never did actually see the primetime Patriots play.
I saw the Patriots play with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick as the coach. It was amazing. They're one of the great dynasties in the history of sports. I saw Nick Saban. I saw him at SEC Media Days a couple times. All right, I know you have your Ric Flair story that's very historic on this show. I said hello to Nick Saban. He said hello back. Does that get me brownie points, Tim Walters?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. All right, you think you're so cool with your Ric Flair story, where you met him and you got the interview and the autograph. You know, I'm going to get you one day, all right? I'm going to get you good for that story. His name is Tim Walters of the Florida Today. There's no wrong answers to this. Who is a better coach in what they did for a living? No wrong answers. What's your gut reaction?
Oh, boy. I guess I would probably still lean toward Bill Belichick, because there is such parity in football, in the NFL, that you don't have in college football. In college, you can get a bunch of five stars. You know, at a time where you weren't supposed to be paying people, I'm sure there were bags of money being handed under the table. Doesn't take away from his greatness. He kept dominance there. He kept kids wanting to go there. He kept winning there. But I would say it's greater to achieve six Super Bowl titles and the number of AFC championships, what they have, 14, 15, 6, I don't even know. They had a lot of them. But to do that in a sport with a salary cap where there's parity, where everybody has the same, you know, start as far as cash to work with, I think that it's more impressive what Belichick did.
All right, I will go the other route for right now. And again, no wrong answers here. They're both amazing. First ballot Hall of Famers. That's not even the right word, I feel like, at the end of the day. They're so great. My thing with Nick Saban is he constantly lost the coordinators. You know, the assistants who help him with recruiting, constantly revolving door, and he'd bring in guys. I mean, even like a Steve Sarkisian, who had a tarnished name, brought him in as a coordinator, then now he's the coach of Texas, and it just kept going. They never had a bad season. They're always in competition. I heard a stat last night. He had, I got to make sure I say this right, Tim, more first-round picks in the first round of the NFL draft than losses at Alabama.
God.
Isn't that crazy?
That's an incredible stat. I love it.
All right, if you're Belichick, where would you go? Like, what entice you? If Tim Walters, if you turn into Bill Belichick, what would you do?
I would buy the house next to Nick Saban and sit on the lake, and they could fish together because neither of them like to say much out loud. So it would make for a great, like, odd couple type of scenario. But no, I don't. If I'm, 71 years old, if I'm that age, why do I want to go back and keep coaching, trying to connect with people 50 years younger than me? I don't know. If I'm him, I wouldn't mind, enjoying my retirement years while I'm still healthy. He's got more money than he's ever going to need. So if he continues to coach, it's completely for hubris. How much does he have left in his 70s?
In the history of this show, a couple years ago, we broke down the ridiculous idea. Remember when Gene Degeroff and Mick Hubert both retired, we said they should be police detectives on a 1970s detective show. These two, if they teamed up, should they have their own like podcast? What would you do with these two to make it interesting?
Well, maybe they could team up to be a lawyer TV show. Remember the one that had William Shatner and James Spader, Boston Legal, something like that. Because I could see those two in court grousing and grouching and growling and doing the thing that they do to drive some judge crazy. So that's where I would go with them. You could have Saban and Belichick, attorneys at law.
You make it like, okay, the other attorney is like a Johnny Cochran type character. He's all, he's very out there. He's talking, and then Belichick talks to the judge. Your Honor, I think that my client is and he talks like that, right?
That's a great limited fake Belichick, and I could be the Saban where I would be like, he's innocent, okay? Just listen to me. I'm telling you, he's innocent.
Do they also wear? Still, like, they're Alabama and Patriots, like those jackets in court.
They would have gaudy ties, one that looks like Alabama and one that looks like New England.
Belichick also, he's got the suit on, but he doesn't like it, so he starts cutting off the sleeves as well. It'd be awesome. It really would.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yes, yes, I love it. I'm down.
Who could even take those jobs and replace those guys?
Boy, you don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy, as we saw with Ron Zook trying to replace Steve Spurrier. I imagine that, they're probably going to look for a younger coach. I don't know if Josh McDaniels is going to be, he seemed like he could have been a fit before totally failing out there in Las Vegas for New England, because obviously he coached there a lot. He still may get a look there. But, there's the coordinator in Detroit that everybody's fawning over, the offensive coordinator. So they're saying he may command the biggest salary of a head coaching prospect ever. So I can't even remember his name, but, he's the one that's put together, made Jared Goff relevant again, working with Amon St. Brown. And so I think that's one person that New England will take a serious look at. Atlanta, probably, they may look at Belichick. They may look at some of these other guys. But for New England, I think that they're going to look for somebody who's not, I don't think they're going to go out and get an established person or an older coach. I think they're looking for kind of a younger mind to kind of turn around this culture that's got a little stale the last 5 years in New England. So that's probably what I would do. Robert Kraft's not afraid to spend money on a head coach. So I would lean toward the Lions offensive coordinator.
Man, does he have a name? How about we just make a rule? He's just Lions offensive coordinator, and we never look up his name. How about that? Just don't do it.
Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson. And apparently the Falcons are interviewing him possibly as we speak.
All right, here's the question. I was hearing this last night on multiple radio stations. Do you feel like Saban, he just decided, you know what, I'm getting out of here. This is too crazy with the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness. This is not what I signed up for. Do you feel like that could be an actual valid comment when it comes to Saban retiring?
Oh, I guarantee it. I mean, look, the SEC, you're bringing in Texas and Oklahoma next year. You're going to a 12-team playoff. You're now no longer trying to get the best players to come to your school. You're trying to have the most money to get the players to come to your school. And let's face it, where they are in Alabama, you know, they may have a great football legacy, but they don't have the type of purse strings that Texas has, that Florida has, that Miami has. You know, there are schools that are going to be able to toss out money. Oh, Texas A&M, you know, just ridiculous. They pay off Jimbo Fisher $80 million, and the following weekend at halftime, an oil booster gives them $150 million. So, boom, there you go. You paid off your guy, and you got $70 million more for the next coach. It's insane. They can't do that in Alabama. So if I'm Nick Saban, I'm taking a deep breath. I'm like, you know what? That's it for me. Let's let Dion come in and be the next head coach.
It's going to be fascinating. They are some of the best coaches of all time. And it's a changing of a guard. You know what it reminds me of? Did you ever see the movie No Country for Old Men? I know it's a book as well. Did you ever see that movie?
No, I've heard of it, but I've not seen it.
It's a great movie. Javier Bardem won for Best Supporting Actor. You know, he's got that crazy haircut. He's the hitman. That's what it kind of, in the movie, it talks about that, where after a while, policemen have to retire. There's a new, younger version of criminal, and they're not used to it. No Country for Old Men. All these guys are in their 70s, and you hit it on the head. You're in your 70s, and you got to talk to 20-year-olds. It's too much of a gap, and you have to let the next generation take over. It's kind of sad, but if you're in the SEC, Tim, I wanted to ask you this question. We're Tim Walters of the Florida Today. Saban is now gone. Does that give hope to other teams in the conference? Hey, maybe we can win now. There's no more Nick Saban.
No, because Georgia is just going to step in and for the next 10 years and be that. So, you know, obviously you're worried about Oklahoma and Texas coming in. Florida's trying to rebuild itself. I mean, yes, I think people are looking at, can we rise to that next level? But I think now Georgia, you know, especially after the last few years, I still think they would have beat the crap out of Michigan had they played the national title game. So I think Georgia is your current Alabama. I did want to add on to one other thing, you know, Mark. We're talking about 70-year-old guys trying to connect with younger people. This was kind of a funny conversation I had on my podcast, the State of Florida Sports Podcast, by the way, when I interviewed Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge, the wrestler, last week. And he just turned 50 recently, and I was interviewing him the day before my 47th birthday, and we were talking about our ages. And I said to him, Adam, you realize me at age 47, if you go back to 1971, the first episode of All in the Family, Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker, was 47 years old.
Wow.
And if you look at the two of us together, it would be insane. And then I told Adam Copeland, I said, you're 50. You are the same age that Wilfred Brimley was when he filmed Cocoon. So humans are aging differently. And so at 70, you know, you're like you were maybe at 50 back then. But aren't those stunning facts to learn, Mark?
Man, that is awesome. You should have told them, hey, when you're 90 in the old folks' home, Ric Flair will still be wrestling somewhere. And at 120.
Well, see, Mark, you've got to listen to the podcast, because I did ask him. I said, can you picture yourself wrestling one last match at age 75 like Ric Flair? And he quickly said, no, I will have been in the retirement home for a long time since then. To which I told him, I guarantee you will be the fittest 75-year-old in the retirement home.
Did you start playing his music? Like, do you think you know me? And then it started playing. What did you do?
Well, the hardest thing was, because obviously he doesn't go by Edge anymore. That was his WWE name for 25 years. So I really had to be cognizant to continue. And it felt weird just talking to him as a peer named Adam, you know. But You know, I did mention the Edge name once, but it was a conversation about coming into WWE. But aside from that, I stayed to it. I didn't mess up and luckily referred to him as the proper thing the entire way through.
Yeah, that's really cool. I will repost that. That's awesome. You got a conversation with, what's his name, Adam Copeland now? That's who we're going with?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't
so
do that.
Now, but maybe he changes his name from Edge to Adam Copeland. He could be the rated G superstar.
Ah. Don't do that to me. Don't show up on this show and be like, I'm not Tim Walters anymore. I'm the... What would you go
well,
by?
I'm Mr. 321, but
right,
maybe if I go to a different radio show, I'll have to change that moniker. They'll have to call me, you know, because I work in Jacksonville now, too. Mm. They could call me Mr. 904.
I like this. We're here with the... An artist formerly known as Tim Walters. This is what I'll call him.
There it is.
What happened to the Jaguars last Sunday?
They stunk, and they got beat because they've never been able to stop Derrick Henry. I mean, look, that guy might be 30 years old, but he is just still insanely good. He just turned 30, by the way. His birthday was January 4th, so it was like 3 days before the game. Anyhow, yeah, the Jaguars, they've just got too many problems to count, and that's really what happened. They were 8-3 at the end of November on their first game in December, Monday Night Football against the Bengals. First drive of the game, they lose Christian Kirk. That was really the first toll of the death knell because they lost their best offensive weapon, the guy who was leading the team in catches, their best route runner, their guy in the slot, the engine that really makes that offense go. So that was part one. Then you lose Cam Robinson for a time, who, if you look at what happened with Cam Robinson, he was suspended. He's the left guard that protects Trevor Lawrence. He was suspended the first four games of the season, and they went 1-2 to start the year, and he came back game five. That's when they won like five or six games in a row. So Cam Robinson then got hurt, and he was out for a few games. Of course, Trevor Lawrence sprained his ankle, got a concussion, got a shoulder injury, and just too many things happened in those last six games, and they couldn't overcome it. So it was a real shame. You know, Trevor still, I don't think, has truly lived up to what he can be. I think we saw it a little at the end of last season and a little early this season, but he's got to find that consistently if he wants to be seen as a great player. They have to shore up that offensive line because it wasn't just Cam Robinson getting hurt. They were rotating through guys on that left side all season. And when you need a really good, strong player to be protecting your quarterback. And as you saw, Trevor got beat up pretty good. So they've got to work on that. Calvin Ridley, I don't think you'll see him back. He's a big playability guy, but that's it. He certainly couldn't fill in for Christian Kirk. He's not going to be your crisp route runner. He's just your giant, fast guy. Like DK Metcalf, run down the field and beat the other guy. And unfortunately, he didn't do that enough. So I think they're going to be looking for a good receiver in the offseason. They're going to be looking to shore up the offensive line, which they may take early in the draft. What did they have, the 16th or 18th pick? So there's a lot of things that they have to fix. It was unfortunate. You start out 8-3, miss the playoffs at 9-8. But, you know, that's football being football, Mark.
Is this the most disappointing season in the history of the franchise?
Well, you know, we at Jacksonville.com have the top five collapses in the Jaguars franchise history.
It's not good.
And, go ahead.
It's not good. The team's only, what, 30 years old? And you already have a top five. That's not good, buddy. It's not.
Oh, and when we were discussing it, we could have gone past top five, sadly.
Yeah, because how many times have they had back-to-back winning seasons, in theory, and going to the playoffs? The Mark Brunell teams in the late 90s, that might be it.
Yeah, the early two. I think there was one in like 05, 06 or something. I'd have to go back and look at Football Reference. But yes, it has not been many now.
No, it's not. I said this earlier in the week. I'm going to say it to you now, Tim Walters, with the Florida Today. I don't think they're a favorite to win the division next year. I think people like this quarterback at Houston. Houston won the division. Indianapolis has improved. I don't think Jacksonville, I don't think there's going to be high expectations for next year. What about you, Tim?
Houston right now, I think they're developing into the class of the AFC South. So you've got D'Amico Ryans, who's a really good young coach. C.J. Stroud's the real deal. You know, they struggled when he was out with a concussion, and really that was their worst two-game span of the season because he's just that good. So the Jaguars next year, yeah, they'll probably be looked at number two in the division. I know the Colts did well. I just don't see them being ranked that high with Anthony Richardson, back at quarterback, because he wasn't all that great this year. Heck, they should keep Gardner Minshew there maybe. But, I would say that the Jaguars, like I said, they're going to be looking to shore up the offensive line and get a better receiver. They also need to improve the running game a little bit. I mean, Travis Etienne, yes, he reached 1,000 yards in the 17th game of the season, but nowadays that's not all that great, really, is it? You know, that stat used to be reserved for, 1,000 yards in 14 games. Yeah. Then it was 1,000 yards in 16 games. Now it's 1,000 yards in 17 games. So it's like, there's a lot they need to improve on. But, yes, I think Houston will be the team favored next year. So that just means that the Titans will win the division, because it doesn't seem like, there's a lot of consistency there in that division. Who knows?
All right. I put you on the spot with that question. And I could tell you had some frustration there. I don't blame you, because I know you had high hopes for this season. Look, 8-3, and then they're terrible in December into January. Are you ready to make your picks for Wild Card Weekend with me?
Sure. I would love to make some picks for Wild Card Weekend with you.
All right, here we go. We're here with Tim Walters of the Florida Today. He's Mr. 321-904, and he'll come up with a new name as well. Browns and Texans, Saturday 4:30. Who you got?
Boy, I believe I'm going to take Houston in this one. Like I said, I like C.J. Stroud. Cleveland's got a great defense, and Joe Flacco has been playing well, but I just think Houston's going to take this one.
If I would have told you in August it's Joe Flacco versus C.J. Stroud in the playoffs, what would you tell me?
Go to a rehab center and try and get off the drugs, my friend.
Thanks. Dolphins at the Chiefs on Peacock. It's going to be a high of maybe 5 degrees at kickoff. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this one's going to be so ugly. I just have to believe the Chiefs are probably going to win this. The Dolphins lost their three top edge rushers. They're bringing in guys off the street to play defensive end. You got to see some of the names they've been signing this week. Mostert, he's been injured. I think this is going to be more of a running game. And I do like Mostert and Achan, but usually Patrick Mahomes just wins stuff like this. So look for the Chiefs to win this one. The over-under was 44. I'd take the under in this type of blizzard condition.
Over-under, how many times they show Taylor Swift on the screen?
Maybe she doesn't show up. Maybe it's too cold. I don't know.
This is going to be fascinating. What happens? Steelers at Bills. Bills right now are a 10-point favorite at home.
Yeah, you've got, Mason Rudolph starting at quarterback. The Bills are probably going to beat them pretty good. But I would not be surprised if somehow Pittsburgh pulls this out. I don't know how they won 10 games this year. I don't know how Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. It's just crazy what he does there in Pittsburgh, but I like Buffalo in this one.
Packers and Cowboys.
I think the Packers pull off the upset at Dallas Stadium, or at AT&T Stadium, and Mike McCarthy gets fired.
You're going with the upset. All right. He's going with it. These are his official picks. Rams at Lions Sunday night.
Ooh, I love this game. You know what? The Rams have been just scorching hot. The Lions have been pretty good. But, again, I'm going to take the away team. I think the Rams in the dome, Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, one of the funnest names in football to say, I think that the Rams are going to pull this one out, which is a shame because I really like Detroit, and I'm a big Amon-Ra St. Brown fan, the biggest snub from the Pro Bowl, in my opinion. But I'm going to take the Rams. I think they're clicking at the right time.
No, the biggest snub in the Pro Bowl is DJ Moore on the Bears, who had 100 catches for, I think, almost 1,400 yards and didn't make the Pro Bowl. What?
Yeah, in fact, I think that was all that – wasn't that the same exact stat Justin Fields had, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I appreciate that. And then finally, Eagles and Buccaneers. Who you got?
Yeah, I said this on my podcast when talking to our Bucs expert, Ira Kaufman, and I'll have to say it here. I think Philadelphia, I know they lost 5 of 6. I know they've been struggling, but I think they right the ship and take out the Buccaneers. So I'm taking 3 away teams this weekend, Mark. Is that crazy?
No, that's not crazy. It's complete nuttiness when it comes to the NFL. Those are his official picks. Before I let you go, they just broke the news. So you and me are going to go to MegaCon. You're going for your first time. I'm very excited about this. The main cast of Back to the Future is going to be there now.
Jumping gigawatts. This is going to be fun.
Oh, are you mentally prepared to see Marty and Doc in person?
I'm really prepared, Mark.
Can they be like dumb and show up in the part three as cowboys? Just make it ridiculous as much as you can.
I need to get a nice white wig. Yes, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. So am I going to dress as Marty and your Doc, or is it the other way around?
Wait, I thought we were going as Optimus Prime and Megatron.
Ah, this is true. We'll be in the section of we can't talk to girls. That's what's going to happen here. His name is Tim Walters, Mr. 305, or 321. I can't even keep up. Tim, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yeah, what's the 305 thing? We don't want to get sued by Pitbull, Mark.